The History Man with Terry Kringle.
Hello. If you know any Manx farmers, can you imagine them being willing, under pressure, to give away a tenth of what they grow and which earns them a living? No, you can't. And you can't see Manx fishermen parting with a tenth of their catch in the same way, even if it is to be given, like the farmer's produce, to the church. But there was a time when they did do, in the Isle of Man and elsewhere. It was a kind of medieval tax, and it was called the tithe. It lasted in the island for nearly 1,000 years, and it survived for so long because the power of the church was absolute. Payment of the tithe dated back to Norse times in the Isle of Man, and it was formally written into Manx church law at a diocesan synod held at Kirkbraddon in 1229. It was levied on crops of all kinds, on farm animals and poultry, and on all produce like butter and eggs and cheese, and even on home-brewed beer. It was also imposed on fishermen, being levied on their catches. To refuse to pay the tithe was a great sin, to be punished by the island's ecclesiastical court, and offenders could be confined to the crypt of St. German's Church on St. Patrick's Isle. The surprising thing is that the Manx people put up with it as long as they did, and eventually they decided that they wouldn't anymore. The first rioting occurred in Peel. Mobs rampaged through the streets, and yeomanry cavalry was turned out to restore order, and a number of the rioters were arrested and hauled up in court. In 1826, the tithe became the cause of more trouble, focused on the bishop, George Murray, who had decided to impose a new tithe on farmers on the increasing number of green crops being grown in the island. The countryside exploded in anger when this was announced from church pulpits. Tithe collectors were attacked. A mob marched on Castletown, then the capital of the Isle of Man, and at Knockaylo, rioters attacked a farm owned by the bishop's proctor. Meanwhile, some farmers decided it was time to send a protest to the Privy Council in London and seek some kind of intervention by Whitehall. But Bishop Murray, who seemed not to recognise the danger he was in, refused to back down. As a dramatic result, the mob really did run riot, throwing everything to the winds. A huge crowd, consisting of something like 5,000 men, women and even children, according to some reports, marched on his residence, Bishop's Court, brandishing bludgeons and pitchforks, and threatened to burn it down. They made it clear that they wanted blood to satisfy their anger. Bishop Murray and his terrified family had to flee for their lives under the protection of an armed escort, and they took refuge in Douglas at the Castle Mona, which was at that time the residence of the 4th Duke of Atholl, Governor-General of the island. Soon afterwards, Bishop Murray announced, hoping for the best perhaps, that the new tithe on green crops would be abolished, even before it was levied. 2 years later, for whatever reason, he decided to leave the Isle of Man altogether, perhaps for his own and his family's safety. But the battle was now finally over, and won. In 1830, moves were made to draft legislation under which all tithes would be abolished by mutual agreement with the church. The fight was finished. But it had taken unprecedented public disorder by the normally peaceful and law-abiding Manx people to achieve this. They should never be underestimated, it seems.